Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. I want to start off this podcast by emphasizing, or maybe even re-emphasizing, there is a big difference between gold, physical gold, the metal, and gold miners. One is money. That's gold. And the other is part of the equity complex. It's a stock. Gold miners are stocks. And you must be very careful to differentiate the two and know when it is okay to own one or the other or each of them. Just because gold is doing well, and it is, and we are participating in that historic bull market run, that does not mean miners are a buy. And let me give you a perfect example. We found it this week. Newmont Mining Corporation, their shares had their biggest decline in like 2 or 3 years after investors saw the company's earnings results that show that one of the industries, if not the industry's top gold producer, is struggling to control mining costs. Now, I'm not cherry-picking Newmont Mining. GDX is the same price today, so that's the gold miners index, as it was back in 2007. Newmont Mining stock fell 14% in one day, giving back all of the gains it has made this year since July. As a matter of fact, Newmont Mining today is the same price as it was in 1987 when gold was $500 an ounce. So again, gold is a great long-term buy and hold. Sometimes you want to own more of it, sometimes you want to own less of it. But miners have to be bought, traded, sold. You cannot hold miners forever. And now miners will be a buy in the future. I think they're going to be a strong buy after the recession becomes manifest and the Fed does what they need to do to liquidate the market and the Treasury does what they need to do to reliquify the banking system. But obviously, they're not buys and holds. So point made. And one of the qualities that makes gold so precious is that it is extremely rare. That means it's very difficult to find, and even more difficult, and increasingly more difficult and more expensive to pull out of the ground. Okay, enough on gold and miners. I want to make an observation about our phony economy. The Fed has assumed, or co-opted, usurped, plenary control of our economy and our markets. And yet, the Fed has no idea what causes inflation, and they have even less clue on how to measure it. So when you think about the Fed, the inflation mandate started out as, you know, we need to have an institution in place that ensures stable prices. Which just sounds, you know, sounds wonderful. We had one, but we got rid of it, called the gold standard. We replaced it with a fiat currency in the guise of providing stable prices. That was the case for decades. Then under Benjamin Bernanke, it jumped to 2% inflation. Stable prices then meant 2% inflation. And now the Fed is trying to push inflation higher, even though it has missed that asinine 2% target to the upside for the past 44 months. 44 months, they have failed to bring inflation to 2%. It's been above it above 2% for 44 months. And now the Fed has said that the 2% target is not good enough. They want it higher. So they don't know what inflation is and how to measure it. I'll go into even more details. So how does the Fed measure inflation? Is it consumer price index? Is it core CPI? Is it the PCE price index, the personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index? Is it the core CPE? PCE? Is it the super core CPI? I mean, the Fed is changing the metric, the ruler, on how to measure inflation that has no idea how where it comes from. Now, you wouldn't do that with any other, you would accept that in any other field in life. You wouldn't say, well, you know, the weather today is 80 degrees, but, you know, 80 degrees, that's when water freezes, or maybe some years that's when water boils. The Fed is changing its metrics on what they think inflation should be, or where they think it should be, all of the time. The Fed also believes, now that's not bad enough, the Fed also believes inflation comes from an overly robust labor market. Oh my gosh, what's the unemployment rate? Too many people are working, and making money gives them the buying power to consume more goods and services, which in turn pushes prices higher. That is utter bullshit. Okay? It's BS. And I think the Fed knows better than that. This is just a ruse to deflect from what they're doing. I never heard any Fed chairperson or governor or any talking head on the Fed ever say, maybe we just printed too much money. Or maybe we falsified interest rates too long. No. Inflation comes from no fault of their own, comes from too many people working. Now, inflation has not 1%. It has 0% to do with a low unemployment rate, because the increased consumption that could come from more people working would be met with a commensurate degree of increased output from those same workers. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It's not borne out through history that the unemployment rate has anything to do with inflation. In fact, if you want to make an argument, a low unemployment rate is associated with deflation, and a high unemployment rate is associated with inflation. Inflation is always a result of a decreasing confidence in a fiat currency's purchasing power, which is nearly always the result of a government overborrowing and printing too much money to take those bonds off of the market. And that is exactly what is happening now. And it's only going to increase in the future, no matter who wins the election. Hence, inflation is going to go much higher in the long run. I didn't say in the short run. I didn't say right now. I said in the long run. Now, the election is very important. What party controls the presidency and which controls Congress, and does either party have complete control, is going to be crucial. I don't give election advice here. I'm a libertarian. I don't love either party. I more associate with Republicans than I do Democrats, but they're both disgusting, different shades of the same crayon. But I would vote for any candidate. I've never voted for a Democrat, but I would even vote for a Democrat if that candidate would say that their primary platform is to dismantle our central bank. Unfortunately, neither Trump or Harris want to replace our fiat currency with a gold standard. But linking the increase in dollars to the mine supply of gold, and I mean the base money supply, that's what the Fed controls, would ensure stable prices, would ensure the ability to have low and stable interest rates, provide an environment that was conducive for lower taxes. It would eliminate asset bubbles. And it would be the savior of the middle class. Most importantly, though, it would cut off government's feeding tube. A free-floating interest rate would require Washington, D.C. to live within its means. Government borrows too much, interest rates shoot up, and that means chaos in the bond market, and the government would have to live within their means. Balanced budget. Imagine, just like every other household and corporation seeks to do. Instead, the system we have now enables the government to print money unchecked by unelected people, and remove unlimited amounts of Treasury debt from the public supply, thus providing Uncle Sam with a blank check under the guise of falsifying low borrowing costs. Now, even though I believe Trump would be far better for the economy than Harris, I am disgusted with the two-party system that refuses to address this most salient issue, which is the erosion of our living standards and our freedoms, especially when it comes to the purchasing power of our money. November 5th is crucial to our IDEC model. Who will be the next president? And what will be the makeup of Congress, as I said? And how soon will we even know the answer to those questions? How long will it take to know the winners? And how long will it take the other party to concede? Will there even be a seamless transfer of power? All right, well, that's my election week speech, and I approve this message. Long-term bond yields are shooting higher. The benchmark 10-year note has spiked to 4.3%, up from 3.6% on the day Powell thought it's a good time to push rates lower. The exact opposite is happening. Now, remember the three I's, which I warned about over a month ago, before anybody else was really talking about this. They were begging you to buy the long-term bonds, most people. The Fed's cutting rates. It's time to panic and buy the bonds across the yield curve. We've avoided that carnage once again. Long-term bonds are shooting up for the three I's: insolvency concerns, illiquidity problems, and inflation issues. Now, when it comes to insolvency, the U.S. is spending over 20%, one-fifth of all federal revenue on interest payments on our debt. That's got to be the most scariest figure that I can throw at you. One-fifth of all revenue? More than that. It's almost 25%. It'll be over 25 very soon. Over 20, soon to be one-quarter of all revenue just on interest payments on the debt. Now, the liquidity for all this debt has come from the reverse repo facility, which is now down to $200 billion from $2.5 trillion just 2 years ago. And not only has inflation already mortally wounded the middle class and down, it is still rising above target, but that is just the beginning. The bond market knows the Fed will be forced to monetize. Forced, not an option, no matter who's the president, no matter who runs the Fed. The central bank of our United States is going to be forced to monetize the trillions of dollars in new debt coming in the next decade. The U.S. is going to have a minimum of $60 trillion in debt. And that is if we don't have a recession, interest rates remain very low, there's no spike in inflation, and none of the next president's promises to borrow and spend like drunken monkeys come to fruition. The Congressional Budget Office projects U.S. publicly traded debt, not total debt, not talking about the unfunded liabilities of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. That's going to jump to 172% of GDP in the next 30 years. So, do you know where it is now? It's around 100%. Do you know where it was just 2007, prior to the global financial crisis? The publicly traded portion of the U.S. debt was 35% of GDP, heading to 172% of GDP in just a few. So quickly turning to the portfolio. I mean, by the way, before I do that, that tells me that one or two things are going to happen. This is virtually guaranteed. Interest rates are going to go through the roof because if the Fed doesn't buy the debt, the public has to buy it, and there's not enough money, revenue, to buy it. So the interest rates are going to explode. Or, and this is obviously what's going to happen first, the Fed is going to monetize all of this debt, warehouse it on their balance sheets, print tremendous amount of money, and cause asset bubbles to explode, and cause inflation to be the most salient issue that this country is going to face for many, many years to come. And that eventually sends interest rates higher anyway, just more slowly at first and then much higher than they would have if we just lived in reality. Now, we have temporarily, and I mentioned this weeks ago, we jumped into sector four, which is reflation, from sector two after the Fed's panic 50 basis point rate cut. Now, how long we stay in sector four remains to be seen. I've watched this portfolio and this model every day. I think the next sector is going to be sector two and then sector one before we jump to sector five, which is intractable and inexorable stagflation. Each one of those sectors, right now we're in kind of like a nirvana. I don't have any shorts in the portfolio. I haven't had any shorts since 2023, early 2023. That's how we're able to make money, even in bull markets. But we are myopically focused on when financial conditions tighten and when credit spreads widen, because then we'll know to get short. So we can not only protect, but even profit, you know, hopefully, prayerfully, profit from this grand and healthy reconciliation of asset prices to come. For now, we're myopically focused on interest rates and the election, and we'll have much more to say on both those issues next week. Get out there and vote. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.